Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've talked about it before. In addition to the national polls, obviously keeping an eye on the state-by-state polls in the matchup between Obama and Romney is critical. We've talked a little bit about the Karl Rove 3-2-1 strategy. Romney's got to win back Virginia, North Carolina, Indiana, probably take back Florida and Ohio, and then any one of a smattering of states. And if he can pick up enough of those smatterings, he can afford to not pick up one of those ones we mentioned earlier. And in a new round of polls that you mentioned on the campaign spot, they come from Marist. The president and Romney are tied in Iowa at 44 apiece. Obama up just one in Colorado, up just two in Nevada. And those are all among registered voters, not likely voters. And the good news I see as well here, Jim, is that the president, in at least two out of three, isn't even really that close to 50%. That's got to be good.
Yeah, news like this today, Greg, kind of reminds us that there hasn't been a lot of head-to-head polling in the battleground states. You might be able to get a general Obama's approval rating and things like that. But most of these states has only been like two or three this year. A lot of them were by Public Policy Polling, an organization that I have looked at their samples and found that from time to time they have, you know, way too many Democrats to offer a plausible portrait of the electorate. But, you look at the Real Clear Politics average, which, again, is kind of going back to, you know, late 2011. Obama led by four in Iowa in the average, led by Colorado by 5.6 points, and led Nevada by 7.4. So you have three states here that are purple, that are really important for Romney to at least put in play and hopefully win a bunch of these. And they were looking pretty blue, that he was not running terribly strong by that. And now, boom, one set of polls, NBC Marist looks pretty solid on this, and they're all tied. Or, you know, Obama's up by a percentage point or two, and that's not statistically significant. Now, this doesn't mean that Romney's going to win them, but it now means he's gotten to where he needs to get to at least have them in play. And as you alluded to, I can't wait for the likely voter screens to go into effect on these polls, because it could be a little advantage for Mitt Romney, or it could be a very big advantage for Mitt Romney. As I noted yesterday, Nate Silver was looking at this in 2010, and he said Democrats do 4 points better in registered voters than they do in likely voters. If you apply that to this one, Romney's ahead in all of these states. Now, that was 2010. It was a year of really high Republican enthusiasm, and Democratic enthusiasm is pretty lower. Chances are Democrats will be a little more motivated with Obama on the ballot. But right now, in these three very important swing states, things look pretty good for Mitt Romney.
The president has another problem, and that is that the economy is just not doing better. He really needs that to happen, and that's our bad martini today, is that the weekly jobless numbers, 383,000, that is worse than it was any time in the last month. It's ticking back towards that pivotal 400,000 number. And really, with so many people leaving the labor force, 350,000 is more of the Mendoza line now on that sort of thing. You also report in the Jolt today that the GDP estimation has been revised down to 1.9% in the previous quarter. So when we're constantly fed this line, Jim, that things are better, you're just not paying close enough attention. And I forget sometimes myself, the facts just don't bear that out.
This is undoubtedly a bad martini. I know there's some folks that argue that, oh, bad news is good for Romney's chances. But look, I don't want to see Americans suffer any more than this. And this is three bits of depressing news. The first is jobless claims up a bit. And again, in each one of these cases, they're worse than expectations. Over on Campaign Spot, I discuss why economists and media sources seem so chronically over-optimistic, at least since, say, January 2009. But jobless claims up, job creation mediocre at best, and you know, manufacturing jobs down. And the GDP numbers, I mean, even though we may not be in recession and the economy may be shrinking, 1.9% quarterly growth is almost recession. You know, it's like it'll feel like a recession. And as I said, that even though the recession technically ended in 2009 or something like that, this does nothing to alleviate the sense that we are still kind of in a psychological recession. We have had a deep, deep recession, and we are basically stagnant since then with marginal growth. You know, 1 month might be okay. Next month will be pretty lousy. It's very, very tough for Obama to make a case that the economy is working, that the economy is growing, that things are getting better. Having said that, there's still a lot of Americans who are in rough shape. And when you look at the official numbers, I think we'll get official jobs numbers on Friday. We're not even counting the people who dropped out of the workforce, et cetera, et cetera. So it is the bad news on the economic front continues, and it looks like it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Yeah, Challenger Gray and Christmas just had a report out today that private sector layoffs are up from previous months, too. So none of this is looking very optimistic for us, unfortunately. On to Martini number three now, and after that sort of depressing news, this is going to bring a smile, hopefully, to a few people's faces. Jim, there's obviously a lot of controversy over enhanced interrogation techniques, waterboarding most especially, you know, uncomfortable positions, bright lights, but nothing apparently is as devastating to the willpower of terrorists and terrorist suspects at Guantanamo Bay than distorted versions of bouncy Sesame Street songs. They've also been subjected to Enter Sandman, as well as some other songs. But Jim, I guess Oscar the Grouch isn't so lovable and cuddly when you have to hear I Love Trash nonstop for 24 hours at a slightly distorted pace.
Greg, to this accusation, I say merely, la 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 la, la 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 la, Elmo song. I don't believe we can argue that this is any type of cruel or unusual punishment if just about every parent in the country is subjected to this on a near daily basis. I will point out that I believe under the Geneva Conventions, It's a Small World After All has been banned, though. That has been ruled to be much worse than waterboarding, much worse than anything you found in Saddam's prisons. And I would really hate to see America lose its soul by deploying that or, say, the Macarena to prisoners. You know, no matter how terrible a Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or other prisoners are, they don't deserve to be subjected to such things. So... that would be my take on these things. It's bizarre. This reminds me of the story I have heard. I don't know if it's ever got verified, that folks who watched the movie South Park that came out in the late 90s, it depicted Saddam Hussein having passed away, having gone to hell, and having a relationship with the devil. And it's an animated movie. The relationship between the devil and Saddam Hussein is quite physical, and it's depicted in animated form. I have heard that when Saddam Hussein was held in prison in Iraq, the Marines or the troops there made him watch that scene over and over again. Some will find that, oh my goodness, how could Americans do this? When you think of the terrible things Saddam Hussein did, I think watching himself have sex with the devil is not the worst thing in the world. I think he kind of had that coming when you gas people and things like that. So I admire this creativity in bringing justice to those who have sought to kill and maim so many. And perhaps it'll be an effective deterrent that if you can't take Oscar the Grouch's song or the Elmo song, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Exactly right. You know, I can just imagine how Rubber Ducky and, Cookie Starts with C, some of these things. And I just want to point out to these terrorists that all of these distorted musical selections are brought to you by the letters U, S, and A. And... and so there you go, Jim. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya. Oh, and the number is 9 and 11.
Yes, absolutely right. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.